Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there on this nice Sunday morning. I was telling somebody earlier that in El Paso, where we live and do ministry, that we have 350 days of sunshine in a year. So full sunshine all day. So cloudy days like this are, as a guy who grew up in Georgia for all of my life until finishing college, days like these are something that can be, thanks God for a day like today. This morning I got a lot of things I want to go through, and I got a couple of videos I want to share, a little testimony that we have from somebody other than myself, and I also want to tell you about CASAS, get you a little bit excited because we have some announcements. So this morning, for those of you who haven't heard me before, or for those of you that had, I'm going to recap just a couple things you may or may not know. Our ministry, our mission statement is really simple. It's so easy that you could probably memorize it and tell it to me next year when I come back. And that is to build and serve. So our ministry simply builds and serves. We build homes for families. And through the act of building homes, we build relationships with those families. We build relationships with pastors. We build relationships with people who come on the teams. And in doing that, we serve those groups as well. So we serve them maybe by building a house and getting dirty and sweaty. We also serve them by helping their church do something that they couldn't do in the community otherwise. And everything we do focuses back to building and serving. Obviously, that last part of serving, in doing these things, we are serving Christ and obeying Him and His last words before He went up to heaven, where He told us to go and make disciples. And that is what our ministry is doing. We are equipping the local church to go out and serve the people around them and build disciples. So that's the nutshell. The way we practically do that is in 1 week's time from start to finish, we take volunteers. They come to us, churches just like your own, and they build a house for a family. They do everything from start to finish. They pour the concrete. We build the walls, we stucco, we drywall, we insulate, we do electrical, and then we roof it, and we dedicate that house and give it to them in just 1 week's time. It's a pretty amazing thing to happen. And over the last year, we have built a lot of houses. And so I thought, if I had to summarize what I wanted to talk about in the time that I had this morning, I picked the five things, the top five highlights of our last year since I was together with you. And I wanted to just this morning tell you what a few of those were. So the first one that I have, I think is kind of the biggest one, maybe not the biggest. You can judge for yourself when the list is over, is it's our 25th anniversary. So 25 years since 1993, we started doing this, and we have built over 5,000 homes, closer to 6,000 we are to 5,000 at this point. So that was something that we are thankful for and grateful that God has blessed our ministry and put us in that point. So we don't look back to that first year and say, oh, how great things were. One of the things that our ministry does, which brings us to our second point, is we are always looking forward to what God has for us, for what He wants us to do, how we can help the church that we serve. And one of the things that I'm excited to share, and you may have seen this because we announced it a few months ago, but that is we're going to be going to a new location, a new country, and that is Nicaragua. And Nicaragua, just briefly, is an extremely poor country. It's a socialist country. They've had the same president, it's his title, for a long time, I believe well over 12 years. And right now, if you've heard in the news maybe a little bit, it figures the minute we would pick to go to that place that God would lead us there, that they would kind of have civil unrest that's happening between the government and college students, young people who they're trying to take away workers' rights. One thing I always tell people is, you know, people will say, is it safe to go here? And you can insert any of the countries that we're in. We're in Guatemala, the Dominican Republic, and Mexico, and I always get that question. And I always say, I mean, it's safe. I mean, God has not called us to say that everything in our life is going to be safe, but I believe I'm doing His will and there's safety in that. But one of the reasons there's a need for our ministry is because in third world countries where poverty exists, there's corruption. And in those countries, there are things that are going to happen just like are happening in Nicaragua. So in January of 2020, just a little over a year from now, We're going to begin building homes for the people of Nicaragua. We have some pastors that we're working with who have churches in the community that we've kind of picked to serve in. And so there'll be some more information coming out that we'll have in our social media and on our website. And I encourage you to check it out if that interests you. That's our number two item on our list. Our number three is last year we built 257 homes across our locations. And this year we're going to build about 275. So God is moving and blessing and growing. And every day we are building a house, it seems like, year round somewhere in the ministry that we serve here. Number four is a big update. A lot of people have asked me the last few weeks has been the volcano in Guatemala. You guys may have heard that there's been an eruption in El Fuego, which means the fire volcano, and it exploded. It's actually some of our groups, this is interesting, some of our groups on their free day go and hike to the top of that volcano. Now, I don't know, my mama taught me better than that, but when your tennis shoes start to melt and there's actually lava in the opening, it just doesn't seem like a safe place to be. But that volcano has erupted. There's been people's lives who are lost. There has been a lot of people who have been displaced at the time because of the ash and the ramifications that happened because of that. So I would encourage you, as one of the highlights of our ministry is there's a need that we're helping and we're trying to provide for the people in those communities. And so I encourage you to pray with us that God would use our ministry and other ministries like ours to help the people continue helping those in Guatemala. That was my fourth one. My fifth one is the most relevant one to you, at least. I don't know if you've heard, but in December, First Christian is going to be taking a trip to Acuna, Mexico, and we are going to be working together and building a home from start to finish. And so I'm excited about it. Alan's going to be coming up a little bit later. We're going to talk about his experience because he came on a trip with us in December, and he's kind of heading this up. So that's my top five things that have happened at Casas in the last year. And one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to share a video with you, because every time I come, I share words or maybe some pictures, and I think that testimonies from the person whose life is impacted is always effective. And so if you would show that first video for me, that'd be great.
Mi mamá Juan Ibarra, tengo tres hijos, uno se llama Juan Gerardo, uno se llama Bianca Dulce, y el otro se llama Johan y Dere. Tuve un accidente en diciembre, se me quemó mi casa, yo llegaba a trabajar, me costaba dormir. Mi esposa y mis hijos estaban dormidos en la misma cama. Y ella se levantó a hacer pipí y me levantó y dijo, nos estamos quemando, papito, nos estamos quemando. Y yo me levanté en puros calzoncillos. Y dijo, vamos a sacar a los niños. Y me llevó a sacar a los niños. Yo tumbé el techo del baño, me quemé toda la espalda. Y ya le estaba sacando a los niños, me dio el primer chiquito. Al Dere, y ya lo aventé a la arena, y luego ella me ayudó a sacar a Dulce, y también la aventé a la arena. Me dio más grande, al Johan. Entonces, cuando me dio el niño, y se me desmayó. Ella se me desmayó, me metí de nuevo por ella. Y ya no me respondió. No me respondió por ella. Le decía, vámonos, mamita. Nada. Y luego, ya llegó mi hermano, llegó sus parientes de mi esposa, pues Dios mi señor. Mis hijos son hoy en la pared. Y le decía a los policías que se me dejaron entrar por ella. Dice, ella ya está muerta. No podemos hacer nada por ella. Dice, ya no queremos otra muerte aquí. Ya no te puedes meter. Y a mí ya no supe nada porque me llevaron al hospital. A curarme mis quemadas que me hice. Y ya no supe nada de ella. No la entierré, ni no fui a su velorio, ni nada de eso. No me dejaron salir del hospital. Yo me quería salir, nomás que me dijeron que si me salía, me iba a morir en 2 días. Le traía mucho humo y traía muchas llagas, en tanto alané. Y así fue mi historia. Pero Dios es muy grande. Dios nos da nos dice, era buena persona, que tenemos que hacer caso a él, pero no entendemos. Nos tiene que apretar duro. Por eso digo, Dios sabe por qué hace las cosas. Pero Dios es muy grande, yo sé que es muy grande porque muchas ayudas me han venido dando. Muchos hermanos han venido y han dicho. Y yo sé que yo tengo un padre también que es pastor. Él siempre en las buenas y en las malas está conmigo. Él siempre está conmigo. Mis hermanos siempre están conmigo. Y yo sé que tiene un propósito Dios para mí. Tengo que echarle adelante por mis hijos. Está muy chiquito, pero lo voy a echar adelante, más para adelante. Y ayudar a mi padre en su iglesita que tiene. Porque yo sé que un día también le va a partir para el cielo.
So that's the story of Juan. Juan lives in Ciudad Juarez, which is the city that is my home field, where we do the most of the ministry, our family, and serving in that community. And I wanted to share his story with you because I was thinking that there's really, on a trip of ours, there's two groups of people that are impacted the most. The first is the families that we serve, and that's one of the families that we served in. You saw in the story that he lost his wife, his house burned down, he was able to get his children out, but his wife unfortunately didn't make it. And in that story there, it was a hopeless time for him, and God used a group of people to come and provide hope for him in a time that was a really dark moment. Some families have those stories, and some families don't have those stories, but God uses those to help proclaim his name. And so I wanted to share the second story I wanted to share with you is the other group of people that are impacted, and that's those who come on the trip. So Alan, if you want to come up here. Alan and I have been talking for a little while, on and off, actually since December, which was when he came on his first trip with us to Acuna, and we've emailed back and forth a few times, and we talked on the phone a couple times. And so I've heard Alan's story about his family's trip when they came down in December of last year and built with us. And so I thought this morning, I got a couple questions I wanted to ask him. And hopefully you guys know him or have seen him at least in familiar face. And I thought, well, listen, you don't know me that well. I mean, you see me here once a year for the last, I don't know, I think 8 years or something. But maybe I'm lying to you. If I am, it's a horrible thing. But yeah. I thought this guy here might lend a little more credibility to the things I'm saying. So I wanted to ask him some questions and him to tell you his story. And then we'll go from there. So, Alan, thanks for helping me this morning.
No problem.
My first question for you is, why did you decide to come on a Casa por Cristo trip?
Well, the video did a lot. I mean, just what you saw with the video was, once you go on the trip and you watch the video, you can't watch the video the second time and see. I mean, I get emotional just watching it. So, last year we actually had, and this is a plug for Sunday school, so if you're not plugged into Sunday school, I'm going to start there in my little sidebar. We had a Sunday school lesson that was taught by David Platt, and it was about being radical. And we had, personally, I was challenged with that I'm not doing enough. You know, one thing to be a Christian, but sometimes we want to talk about why we're a Christian. I mean, what do? We're built to serve, and yet I'm not really serving by other than just going to church. So we were really struggling with that. The Sunday school lesson was great. Jason showed up, I think, right around the same time last year, and it was just, you know, God just kind of beat on your heart. Kaylee and the kids had come back from CIY, and CIY was doing a mission trip to Ireland, and Kaylee was like, Dad, we got to go on a mission trip. We've got to do something. And I'm like going, you know what? We've got a mission trip. We need to support. Why don't we just sign up and go? And so we looked on the website. We found there some individual trips that you can partner with other churches and go on a trip. And we just looked at it. Christmas time, December 27th and 30th was a great time for us. And we just decided, you know what? We're going to bite the bullet and we're going to go. And so we did. And anyways, we'll talk a little bit more of that.
When Alan and I were talking, one of the things he was telling me a story, I was like, you know, I know it's unique to you, but I mean, I can tell you so many people have heard this exact same story. And when he was telling me his whole story from start to finish the first time, I thought, man, this is so many other people's story that they could share as well. And one of the things you said to me that I wanted to tell everybody here, because there's an opportunity for you to come and join and have this experience as well. But we want to also let you know, hey, some stuff might happen in your life as a result of your commitment to doing that. And so you signed up for the trip, but you had a little time between when you signed up and came. Tell me how it all went for you.
So we signed up, I guess it was end of June, middle of June, something like that. And we paid the deposit. And things were going on, and we were pretty excited. And I remember I traveled for work, and I was getting these text messages from my sisters like, hey, are you in town? We need to talk. And I was like, no, I'm out of town. She goes, well, call me back. So we'll get a call, I don't know, a week or so. I can't remember the dates, but sometime right afterwards, she's like, you know, I just want to let you know, I have breast cancer. And I'm like, wow, you know, it's one of those things. Your sister, she's just a couple years older. A couple weeks later, I get a phone call from my mom. She's like, well, she goes, they found a mass in your dad's liver. And, you know, he's battling cancer. And then I think Kaylee had just started driving. And it was one Friday night. This is all like in a 3 or 4 week period. You get that call, the worst parent's nightmare. She's like, well, she should be home. It's 11 o'clock. She should be home by now. And all of a sudden you get a phone call. She's like, well, I'm okay, but I was in a wreck. And then everything from work went downhill. Castaneda's work was struggling. It was one of those things. I wasn't even worried about job security. It was like, all right, this is not what we signed up for. And this all happened in a very short window. And I'm like going, all right, God, where are we at with this? Because this is not what I thought would happen. So we looked at it, and Castaneda, we had several times. She goes, you know, just it's funny. It's once we paid the deposit, everything just started going boom, boom, boom. And I think it was one of the points we'd had to decide as a family, all right, we got tunnel vision, we're going no matter what. There's nothing that can stop us from going. And so getting to the trip was harder than the trip itself. And so as we challenge this, one of the things we want to do as a group, and we're going to ask you, I'm not stealing your thunder, but we're going to ask you to sign up, is we got to be accountable to each other, because everybody that will sign up will have some kind of struggle along the way. I guarantee you something's going to happen that's going to put in your mind that I want to go, but we need to work through that. We need to be a support group. So that's some of the things we challenged. You know, it's came through on the final on the other end, but yeah, that challenge in time and we all have in our lives all happened. It seemed like as soon as we just committed to go, it was just kind of a floodgate of problems as we all experience in life. So, but we got through it. We made it.
I mean, that's my thing that I would recap for you, not just for anybody coming on a mission trip, but for life of missionaries and believers. The enemy wants nothing more than for us to sit right where you're sitting, and then that be the extent of your Christian faith. That's what he wants for your life, the enemy does. But that's not what God wants for your life. And the minute that you step out of what the enemy wants for you, there is the potential that things are going to happen in your life to make it uncomfortable, to put you back where you are at. And your story is one of those ones that a lot of times, I don't think for one second that, don't doubt for one second, the enemy knew that if you got out of your seat and you came on that trip, that it would, you were the kind of guy that you would want to lead a trip of other people to come and do that. So he couldn't have that happen,
right?
Because that's not what he wants. That's what God wants.
Yeah.
And he wants to be, you know, contrary to that. So thanks for coming. And I know this next question is probably going to be one of the toughest ones,
yeah,
because I told him, this is what I want to ask you and think about it. Like, 'cause there's 100 stories we
right.
could share. We could go till noon if we wanted to recap in what it is. But I told him, what's the one best thing that happened during the week that you came and worked with us?
And to your point, there's so many things, even from the standpoint of, as a father, watching, working side by side with your children and your wife on a mission trip and watching your son and the change in their lives and how they conduct themselves, and your daughter, and she's all in, and you're so proud as a parent, you know, from a selfish standpoint. But for me, the morning of the dedication, so as Jason kind of alluded to earlier, we build the house and then we dedicate the house. And so the lady's mother that we built the house for came in. We did a circle of prayer, and we would pass around these prints. But she prayed in Spanish, and it's one of those prayers that, you know, you understood every word she said. Even though I cannot speak Spanish, it was so heartfelt. It's one of those things you realize, you just not changed that life. You changed generations, because this lady had children, and she's seeing what you've done. And the impact is, we'll never know the true impact. But to be in that one point, that one moment where you hear the mother prayer, and it's one of those things that still gets chills down your spine just hearing. Because it was grateful. We hear prayers all the time, but you don't hear a prayer that actually has true raw emotion behind it and true gratefulness. It's one of those things that's outstanding. And then when we got back, we actually, the beautiful thing about the trip too, and I'm not stealing your thunder a little bit, but we, you know, technology is great, but we can't disconnect ourselves. And so we disconnected for 4 straight days with no technology. So we took pictures on our phones and that type deal. And we got back and we loaded on the laptop as soon as, you know, a day or two after the trip. And then we were sitting there, Cassie and I were watching it. You know, we're just flipping through the photo screens that we've taken. All of a sudden we look at it and our eyes are just swollen with tears. Because you just can't, the raw emotions of what you just done, you don't realize until you get back and kind of sit back, and the experience you get to be part of is indescribable. You can't describe what we went through. Unbelievable.
I always tell people, when I first came on my first trip, because it has to start somewhere for everybody, and my story was similar to your story,
yeah.
I always came back and told people, and I was telling the people who went on trips with me specifically, it's impossible to tell the people who didn't come what they're missing and express that emotion
yeah.
that you feel verbally. It just can't happen unless you see it yourself. And this is an example of your story's my story
yeah.
type thing. And so the last one I had for you is, for me personally as a missionary, I want to believe that my work is having an impact and going beyond just putting that last nail mm-hmm. in the house.
Yep.
And so tell me what happened when you got back after the trip was over. You're done with us. What about your life? Has it had any difference or any change or effect?
Oh, absolutely. And it changes your outlook. It looks at, you know, what you have today, and you don't really have a lot to complain about is what we have. You know, we're blessed. The biggest impact is being able to share my witness, because before you're always kind of that awkward stage and everybody understands how many times you ever shared your testimony and that kind of faith. So the best example, we came back in and I travel for work, and we had a trade show down in Orlando, Florida, and we're sitting there in this trade show booth with some dead time, and they're like going, Alan, what'd you do over Christmas? All right, let me tell you. And then you start going through the photos, and then they're like, and you have this group, and they say, you know, you have 4 or 5 people standing around, and he's like, well, why? And one of the questions is like, well, how much do they pay you to go? I'm like, no, we paid to go. And he's like, I don't get it. But you know, I mean, the opening doors, and it's because, you know, as a Christian, you always worry about sharing your testimony because you're worried about people rejecting you and rejecting the faith. But if you go down and share that, you know, you actually took the time out of your to go do God's work, and you went and built a house for somebody who did not have a house, it opens the door, because, I mean, if they criticize you for that, what kind of humans are they? So it's one of those things, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to share your story and your impact. And from that standpoint on, we've kind of done that. And you'd be surprised how many people I did not know were actually doing other mission trips and that kind of stuff. And so you realize there's a lot more people doing mission work than we give credit for. So for me, it opened up a lot of doors to be able to share what we've done as far as a family and as Christians to go serve Him.
So my second video that I had for you guys is, Alan hasn't actually seen it. We were talking this morning.
Yep.
He's like, Kevin didn't show it to me. I sent it to Kevin, but it's, I want to introduce you to somebody. I want to introduce you to a family and a pastor who is, they live in Acuna, Mexico, which is right across the border from Del Rio, Texas. And this family is selected. I was talking to the director of Acuna and I told him, hey, I'm going to this church. They're going to do a trip. I know it. I believe it. And our normal procedure is you sign up, you pay a deposit, we get everything worked out. And then about 2 months before the trip, we assign you a family. And I just said, Scott, hey man, can we do something? We bend the rules a little bit. Can we get a family ahead of time that we can show and share what our plans are? And he was like, yeah, we can do that. So we assigned a group to a family to your group. And we have a little video that we want to show you to introduce you to who that family is this December. So if you'll watch that with me, I'd like to introduce them to you.
Ernesto Arellano y somos pastores aquí en la ciudad por 22 años ya. Estamos trabajando aquí para alcanzar a la gente que no conoce de Cristo, ¿verdad? Ya por 22 años estamos trabajando por acá, por la ciudad de Acuña.
His name is Ernesto Arellano and he has been serving here as a pastor in Ciudad Acuña for the last 22 years.
Yes.
And He has been reaching people for Christ for the last 22 years here in Ciudad Acuña.
Por la necesidad de un hogar, de una casa. Gracias a Dios por el Ministerio de Casas por Cristo, pues a través de ustedes podemos nosotros compartir esa casa, pero al mismo tiempo compartir el mensaje de Jesús, ¿verdad? El propósito de esto es bendecir a la gente, pero que a la misma vez a través de esto conozcan a Jesús, reciban a Jesús en su corazón.
So he decided to build a house for this family because he saw the need, and through Casas por Cristo he knows we can bring these blessings to these families, and not only material blessings, but for them to also get to know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Pues el resultado es que reciban a Jesús en su corazón como Salvador y le sirvan, ¿verdad? Como nosotros le servimos también. Y a la misma vez que ellos compartan a ese mismo Jesús, ¿verdad? A Jesús mismo, el que predicamos.
And his hope is for the people to receive Jesus in their heart, and also to keep following Jesus, and not only for them to receive Jesus, but for them to share about that, those good news about Jesus to the people around them. Her name is Veronica Ruiz Rodriguez, and this is her husband, Ismael Anguiano López.
Porque el seguro no quiso pensionar a mi esposo, nos quitaron la casa, ¿verdad? Y nosotros pedimos a la señora Tete que nos ayudara con una casa. Y nos aportó una casa.
So they're in need of a new home because her husband was not—he was not able to receive his pension, and so they lost their house, and they're in need of a new home right now because they do not have their own house.
Es una bendición de Dios muy grande, ¿verdad? Y vamos a tener donde vivir toda la vida.
And for them to receive a new home means a huge blessing from God, and that they'll have a house where to live for the rest of their life.
So a couple things in that video, I don't know if you caught or you saw or even knew what you were looking at, but they're standing on the piece of land that was just level dirt of where they own. Now, it was kind of a big, when the drone footage went up, you kind of saw a big piece. There'll be a lot of families that those are parceled off into really small pieces of property that are enough for a house and a small yard in the front and back, not very big. Another thing about this family, I don't know if you noticed that she was holding a cane and he was sitting in, a pretty old type of wheelchair. I don't know, a handmade wheelchair, I guess the best way to describe it. He had lost his leg, one of his legs from the knee down. He had lost his pension, as they said in there, but he's also not able to get a normal job, like a laborer type job that a lot of men in this community would have to support their family. So they are in desperate need. That's one of the reasons we pick them. The pastor also, he chose them specifically because they don't know Christ. One of the things that I've shared with you in the past, the way families get homes is we have a group of men and women who are representatives of their church, and they select people in their community that they want to serve. And we let them pick how they want to do it. Sometimes it's Christian believers who maybe it's a single mom or a family who's been without work and they have no place to live, or their family's been kicked out of wherever they're at. Sometimes it's because, and like this one, the family is not a believer, and the church wants to use it as an evangelistic tool. And that's a neat opportunity when that happens, to be able to share the gospel in a physical way that's not necessarily something where you're witnessing and telling them a story of Christ, but instead you're kind of showing them with your actions. And none of us, most of us that go probably won't speak any Spanish, so it's not going to be by our words, but instead by our actions and love for one another that they will hopefully see Christ and accept Him in. So this December, that family's life's going to change. They don't know what's coming. Beautiful thing about this is, other than Alan and Cassie, that nobody else is going to know what's going to be coming for the week that you're going to have. But I can promise you, having seen it time and time again, that it will be a powerful week for us. So today, hopefully it went by for you pretty quick. We had a lot to do, a lot of different things to show you and tell you, and we have run out of time. But I wanted to give you guys an opportunity after we're done with our closing song and prayer. Alan and I will be out there. We have a sign-up sheet where you can get your information down, and he can contact you for other meetings that you guys will have as you prepare. But if you have some specific questions and you want to ask me because you're kind of on the fence, or you just want curious, want to know, I'll be out there. I'll be glad to talk with you guys. But let's pray this morning, and then we'll close in song. Father, I thank you for the work that you are doing. God, I thank you that you have given us the abilities and the finances to grow your kingdom and expand your kingdom for your glory, Father. I thank you for this Lopez family that you have called out, that you have selected, that you have said, I want them to see my love. And Father, I pray for those who are sitting here this morning that maybe have a tug on their heart or have heard these stories, and they as well think, God, are you asking me to do something? Father, I pray that they would have the courage to step out and to serve you, and to just see how big of a God you are and see what the plan is for their life. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for First Christian, for the people here in Perry that make the ministry happen for me and my family. And Father, I pray blessings upon them. God, we just thank you this morning for being a good father, for the one who provides for all of us, who cares for each of us deeply. Father, I just love you and I thank you and I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Jason.